Welcome to another edition of Africa Live on AhuruRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe. And for the past month, Africans in Guinea-Conakry have been taking to the streets in demonstrations demanding the removal of neo-colonial president of Lansana Conte and have been met with a brutal response from the government. The general strike tied to these demonstrations had virtually shut down the country. And we have with us today Comrade Cherno Alpha Mba, director of the Africanist Movement, which is based in West Africa, to help us get a clear understanding of what's going on there in Guinea. So, Uhuru, Comrade Cherno.
Yes, Uhuru, Comrade Nabinga.
How you doing?
Uhuru, everyone.
It's good.
We're okay.
Great. It's good to have you here. Have you on with us? We've been getting, you know, some information through imperialist media, even though it's not much actually, about the situation there. But of course, imperialist media doesn't tell it, you know, from my perspective. And so could you give us a general idea of what it is that's really happening there in Guinea?
For the past 3 weeks, the oppressed masses in Guinea have been, struggling with the new colonial government that we have here. They are protesting, and they've been engaged in serious battles with the security services here, the police, and the Guinean military, who are, out on the streets shooting and, trying to prevent the people from, getting their demands. And then for the past 3 weeks, we have witnessed a situation where a general strike was called by the two prominent Guinean trade unions. By this, I mean the Guinean Workers Union and the Federation of Guinean Workers, who led a demand initially calling for the resignation of General Lansana Conte, who has been in power since 1984. And, they are calling for a total regime change. So the strikes continued for about 2 weeks. And then, but finally, what happened was that since Monday last week, the leadership has entered into negotiations with the new colonial government, and they're requesting that General Lance Lacontaine should appoint a new prime minister. In other words, he should devolve his powers, and the new prime minister should be given the powers to form a new government. So, but this situation is not in the interest of the masses, and protests are still ongoing in some parts of the country, although in Conakry, the trade union leadership, you know, are trying to calm down the situation by informing the people that the appointment of a new prime minister is the solution to the situation. But as I speak to you, over the weekend, there was serious confrontation between the Guinean military and the police, the special anti-criminal brigade in Conakry. So there were protests in places like Labé and Dalaba, where thousands of demonstrators came to the streets simultaneously in both of these towns, demanding that the government should resign and that the negotiations between the trade union leadership and the government does not represent, you know, the desires of the people. And they are saying that they have outrightly rejected the negotiations between the new colonial regime and the trade union leadership. And in actual fact, they are saying that the agreement between the trade unions and that it should appoint a new prime minister, you know, does not represent what they desire, and that it just satisfies the interest of the trade union leadership. So we are currently, you know, in Mamou, which is about 50 kilometers to Dalaba and Labé, and you know, we just found out that the military has erected checkpoints throughout you know, Dalaba and Labé, which means that for the since Friday, you know, they've been monitoring vehicles and people who are going into Dalaba and out of Dalaba, and they have declared a curfew, which limits the freedom of movement of people, you know, in those towns. But there is still express determination, you know, from the masses to protest, and then, you know, there's every tendency that people will come out on the streets by tomorrow on Monday, because the government has not even named, you know, the prime minister as requested by the trade union leaders. So we're talking about a very protracted situation, and the government of Lance Lacontaine has been in power since 1984 after a coup that ended the regime of, you know, Amadou, who was a socialist and who was, you know, leading a struggle against French imperialism. So you see, so what they are saying is that they need a complete regime change, and we have been struggling with them, you know, to put into clear context what is happening, you know, on the ground. But like you rightly said, much of the information that is being disseminated outside Conakry right now by the imperialist media does not give the people a clear understanding of what is happening.
Yes.
But the situation as it stands right now, you know, shows that the masses are about taking power into their own hands.
What could you say what sparked this strike, the demonstrations?
You know, like I said, General Lance Lacontaine came to power in 1984, and which means that he has been in power for, you know, close to, you know, for over 20 years now. And in 1993, he, you know, manipulated an election that was organized by the French government and backed by the United States, to which he succeeded in transforming himself from a military, you know, leader to what some people would call a civilian president. So from 1993 until this period, he had entrenched himself in power, shielding every effort by the masses to have a government that represents their own interests. And you know, Guinea has the highest deposit of iron ore, bauxite, and whatsoever in this area. And then the corporations that are mining these resources are owned by the U.S. government and France. And then since last year, the Guinean government has been in, you know, some form of disagreement with the U.S. because they entered into an agreement with some Japanese companies that gave these Japanese companies some access to some of the resources that the U.S. government earlier had a hold on. So the economy has deteriorated to a point that the living conditions of the masses, you know, continue to deteriorate, you know, at a more higher pace. And the thing is that Conte has used different judicial services to ensure that whatever protests, you know, from the masses will be suppressed. So since last year, there has been strikes from, you know, the student unions, and the workers have been leading the strike. You know, the workers unions have been leading the strike, calling for, you know, an increase in wages, and then the reduction of prices of basic commodities like rice, you know, and some other related conditions. But the thing is that 3 years ago, the president succeeded in amending the constitution and made himself almost a president, you know, for life. And since last year, the country has existed in a situation where the president is seriously ill, and there is nobody who is actually in control. His wife is doing, you know, whatever she thinks she wants to do. And there are various individuals who are, you know, involved in corruption and whatsoever, you know, mismanagement of state resources and some other issues that are not in the interest of the people. So what the people are trying to say that, you know, they had had enough of this oppression, and they want a complete regime change. And there are so many, you know, forces that are involved in this situation. You have a coalition of opposition parties who some of them are supported by the U.S. government and some are supported by the French government. And then since last year, the French and the U.S. government succeeded in persuading some of these political leaders, these opposition leaders, to form what they call an opposition coalition. And they boycotted the elections that were organized by the government, you know, and that situation, you know, has a serious effect on what is happening. And but the thing is that the unions themselves who have moved the strike action want to exploit this situation to have their own interests. But the thing is that people are fed up with the regime, because they've been in power for over 20 years, and there's massive corruption, and the prices of basic commodities are going higher every day. And what they are saying is that they want a complete regime change.
Hmm.
So okay. those are some of the issues, you know, that the people are talking about.
And I know the Africanist movement is there in Guinea. What role is the Africanist movement playing in this? And what is its position?
Well, we called the meeting early in January this year in Labe, you know, in trying to bring together some of these forces into a common coalition that will spearhead this action for change. But what happened is that some of these social forces have their own interests. And then the trade union leadership agreed with us that we were supposed to have a meeting in February, you know, in order to form something like a coalition that will spearhead a common agenda for the people. But they went ahead with preemptive strikes. And you know, they manipulated the situation, and because they know that the people, you know, want to have a change, you know, of the current situation. So what they did is that they went into action regardless of earlier arrangement that we had with them that we were supposed to meet again, you know, in order to effect a common action that will be in the interest of the masses. But they had a separate agenda, so they moved in and called for general action. But then we are in collaboration with several other progressive movements here, like the Civil Society Council, which is an organization that has some 15 other, you know, social movements who are involved in this process. So what we are trying to do is that we are trying to take this struggle to its required direction, because the trade union leadership, you know, knowing fully well that some of these organizations are working with us, you know, have moved ahead with negotiations with the regime, and they are now calling for the appointment of a prime minister, you know, and that the prime minister should be given the powers to form the first government. So what that means is that they are actually saying that they want the government to share power with them. They want to have a representation in government. And then which is why they've been moving, you know, trying to persuade these forces to back out of whatever action we are about to take. But the way the situation stands is that we have been moving, informing the people why the trade unions have sold out, and that the people should not be discouraged by the fact that the trade unions have sold out their own position. And we've been receiving massive responses from the masses. And just on Friday, we had serious protests that happened in Labe and Balaba, you know, calling for the resignation of the government, and they rejected the negotiations that happened between the trade unions and the trade union leadership and the government. The thing is that there is no relationship between what the trade unions are saying and what the masses are actually demanding. The masses are saying that, you know, they want to compromise with the regime, and that the last Nakonte should go because he's sick, and, you know, there is nobody who is in control, and that power should be given to the masses. They need a government that represents their interests, one that is put in power by themselves. So which is why, you know, there are protests in Labe and Balaba. And you should know that the Africanist movement has a strong presence in both of these towns. And from the discussion we had, you know, on state radio yesterday, is that the interior minister was on radio saying that they know that the Africanist movement is responsible for what is happening in Labe, you know, and Balaba, because the trade union leadership, the secretary of the trade of the Guinean Union, came out publicly on state television saying that, you know, they had no relationship, you know, with the action that was taken by the masses in Balaba and Labe, and that they have suspected that certain individuals about, you know, using this situation to achieve their objectives. So meaning they are actually saying that we are trying to sabotage the government, you know. So we equally found out that three of our members were arrested as a consequence of, you know, the strike that happened in Labe. But the thing is that we expect more strikes to happen tomorrow, and it's going to be, you know, a nationwide situation now, because, you know, the trade union leadership have exposed themselves, and the people now know that about achieving their own objectives. An interesting thing is that the government has not even named the prime minister, because they are afraid of the fact that naming the prime minister right now will help to, you know, ignite the situation. So the strategy is that they want to make sure that, you know, some of these forces are persuaded to accept the negotiations that was done between the trade union leadership and the regime. So that's the current situation right now.
Okay. Now, what has been, excuse me, I know there's been reactions from the regime. One, you said, you know, that, you know, they made this deal with trade unions. But what other reactions has the regime, the Conte regime had during this process?
Well, like I said, initially when the strikes happened, the trade unions, you know, appeared as if they were carrying out a popular agenda for the masses. But when they discovered that some of the other forces, like the Africanist movement and some other groups who are, you know, about pursuing the agenda, calling for the complete resignation of the you know, the regime and the surrender of power to, you know, to the masses, then they moved on, you know, immediately and strike the compromise with the government, saying that, you know, all they wanted is a new prime minister, and the prime minister should have powers to form a new government. So on Monday, they came out with a statement saying that the regime had accepted that, Conte had accepted that he's going to name a new prime minister, you know, so which means that they declared that all strike action should be ceased, you know, should be put on a hold. So the regime, you know, the government has gave instructions to the security services to maintain what they call law and order. And then because of that situation, like I told you, you know, on Friday there were massive demonstrations in Labe and Balaba. So what happened was that they instituted checkpoints, you know, in strategic locations in all of these towns, making sure that everyone who goes into Balaba and out of Balaba is searched. And they've been saying that they've received intelligent information on mobilizations that are happening, which are about undermining the peace of the state. So you see, so meaning they are ready to suppress the mass, and the trade unions are saying that what is happening in Balaban Labe has no relationship to earlier protests led that was led by trade union leadership, and that these latest protests are sparked off by individuals who just want to have who just want to use this situation to achieve their own objectives. So, and the interior minister came out openly on state radio saying that you know, what happened in Labe and Balaban has a connection, you know, to the Africanist movement. We haven't made a public statement, you know. What I just said in an interview, you know, with one of the radio stations, was that, you know, the accusations that they are making, you know, it's obvious from the fact that, you know, every household in Labe and Balaban has someone who's associated to our movement. So you see, but the thing is that they have declared a curfew in Labe and Balaban, saying that from 7 p.m., you know, people should not move out of their homes. And then this has limited the movement of people in Labe and Balaban. But the people are still are determined to carry out more protests. You know, several people were arrested. Like I said, we just found out that three of our members, people who are members of the movement, were equally arrested as a consequence of that situation. So, but tomorrow, the understanding is that there's going to be more strikes and more demonstrations in other parts of the country. Because even the Prime Minister that the trade union calls for has not been named by the regime, because there is the fear of reprisal from the masses as well. So the trade union leadership is trying to ensure that they make sure that most of the forces who are involved in this process, you know, accept what has been arranged between them and the regime. So that is the situation.
Okay. We're interviewing Comrade Chernow Alpha Mba, the director of the Africanist Movement, about the growing situation in Guinea, Conakry. For those listeners who would like to participate, you can do so by calling in. If you're calling from within the U.S., you can call toll-free at 1-877-824-3337. If you're calling from outside the U.S., you can call us at country code 001-727-824-5700, or you can also email us by clicking email DJ on the right side of your Uhuru Radio website, or sending email directly to DJ@uhururadio.com. We also have in the studio with us Chairman Omalia Shetela, the chairman of the African People Socialist Party. Uhuru Chairman.
Uhuru.
I'm sure there's some intervention you would like to make here.
Yes, thank you very much. Uhuru, Comrade Chernow, how are you?
I'm okay, Chairman.
Splendid, splendid. Listen, I just want to tell you that we are very concerned about the developments there in Guinea-Conakry and West Africa in general, and we are quite pleased by the fact that the Africanist movement is there on the ground. Because there's so much activity happening all over Africa, but what has been missing has been an organization on the ground that's connected to an international effort to liberate our Africa, and an organization that can take revolutionary ideology into the mass struggles, such as what you are having there. I'm really glad to see that you try to and continue to try to, through the Africanist movement, to pull other social forces into this process to try and develop a national democratic revolutionary program or agenda. Because the way the regime is moving and talking about its willingness to establish to have a prime minister, even if the regime should concede to do that, it seems to me that it does not address the fundamental questions that we are confronted with in Guinea-Conakry. And it opens up the possibilities for opportunists, even like the trade union leadership that you're talking about, to step forward and say that the question is being resolved either because there's a new prime minister, or they may even go so far as to say the problem is resolved by regime change alone. So the question, it seems to me, of fundamental significance is the ability of the Africanist movement to be able to put forth a program, an agenda for the masses that goes beyond regime change. If you talk about regime change, you got to be talking about the next government representing what? What is the agenda? What is the program? What are the interests that's being articulated around? And I'm hoping that the Africanist movement can take that on, and that you can let us know also what we can do from outside there to contribute to your ability to communicate a program and agenda to the masses, so that the resistance can have a different kind of consciousness, can have a higher level of consciousness beyond simple regime change, but regime change so that this program, this democratic, revolutionary national democratic program can be implemented. So, let us know what it is that we can do to contribute to that, because I think that's going to be fundamental.
Okay. The thing that has made this situation much more complex and difficult for us is that, there are so many social forces involved in this process, and the thing is that the preemptive action taken by the trade unions prevented us from having a coherent, program of action. We were hoping that we were supposed to meet in February this month in Labe and to draw up a program before ever we go into action. So as it happened, is that we found out that the thing became spontaneous to the point that it has placed us in a situation that we are trying to address the questions as we move along. The difficulty that we are faced with right now is the issue of communication, even with forces within this West African region who are equally trying to know exactly what's happening on the ground here. We are currently in Mamu in a place where it's very difficult to access the computer or to access the internet. So it's difficult for us to send information out and even to receive information from meaningful forces who will help us to find an appropriate solution or ways of handling this particular situation. So we are moving here and at the same time trying to go to Conakry, to send information out and to receive information on how we'll be able to appropriately handle this situation. But the thing is that the action that was taken in Dalaba and Lade and the response of the regime has made it much more difficult as we discuss this situation. But the thing is that the people are fed up with the regime, and what they are calling for is a complete regime change. That's to say, they need a new government that represents their interests. One that is not made up of individuals who they think are responsible for what's happening in the country right now. And they have lost confidence on the trade union leadership, because negotiations made by between the trade union leadership and the regime, represent a position that is not favored by the general majority of the Africans in Guinea.
Let me stop you for a moment here, Comrade Cherno. We have a caller on the air. Caller?
Yes, Uhuru.
Uhuru.
What's going on, comrades? I really appreciate this discussion. It's good to see that we have Comrade Cherno Alpha and Ba on Uhuru Radio. And and the chairman being able to address this issue, I've kind of followed bits and pieces of the struggle in Guinea from with AllAfrica.com and articles that come along there, but it really did not provide the information that's needed for the Africans around the world who really want to know what's going on the ground. And I really appreciate this this institution, Uhuru Radio, for putting this on and allowing Africans around the world to hear this discussion. I had a question. My first question is, how was this struggle in Guinea? What are the implications of this struggle in Guinea for the whole West Africa region in terms of how this resolves? If there's a regime change and that does take place, what implications is this going to have for Sierra Leone and other, in Liberia and other countries around Guinea? And secondly, I don't know if there's a call for African organizations to support this struggle, you know, in other places, whether it's here in the U.S. or where I'm at, or Africans who may be hearing this in Europe or other parts of Africa, if there's any, how can we support this struggle to, you know, to bring about the kind of resolution that need that the people need?
I think that's a very strategic issue because, you know, a few months ago, you know, there was a concern expressed by ECOWAS, which is the regional economic body that was established in 1975 by the various neo-colonial governments in this region. What they were saying is that they were holding discussions trying to set up what they call a rapid response military base in Freetown. Because the discussion that has been happening among these various neo-colonial governments in this region is that they suspect that or they have information saying that, you know, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea is serving as a ground for what is called leftist organizations. So as I speak right now, latest information that we're receiving from Freetown says that there are mobilizations happening in Freetown, which will eventually lead to the immediate deployment of a rapid response West African force that will be made up of troops from Sierra Leone, Nigeria, and other West African states in order to help the Guinean government combat the situation if they discover that the situation is developing to a point that the Guinean regime will not handle the situation appropriately. Because the fear is that they know that any situation that develops in Guinea has the potential of, you know, contaminating or maybe a contagious situation similar to what's happening in Guinea will surely happen in Sierra Leone and Liberia, and which will definitely affect, you know, the current neo-colonial state formation in this region. So you see, I think, like the chairman said, what is missing here is an appropriate program of action that will definitely ensure that we have that will ensure that we take this struggle into this required direction.
Let me intervene, Comrade Cherno. Like such an agenda or program might, for example, demand that the U.S. and U.S., EU, and imperialist military and intelligence agencies out of the region, the removal of the borders that impact negatively on the ability of Africans there to trade and therefore enhance their living situation and condition, the nationalization of strategic resources such as the mines and what have you the impact on the corruption and also new laws governing the amount of profits or resources that can be taken by corporations out of the region. Obviously, some things that will have to do with what the workers are talking about. They do need living wages. They do need better wages and living conditions and what have you. And I think we can tie the better wages and living conditions to nationalization of these resources and taking them out of the hands of the imperialist destruction of the borders that will impact on in so many ways in terms of trade. And if it were at all possible to mobilize Africans throughout that region, not just in Guinea, but Africans in Sierra Leone, Liberia, Africans in other areas of that region who could be united with the basic demands, calling for the borders to come down, and also demanding the U.S., EU military coming out of the West Africa and also struggling against their own military. That is to say, the military, I understood at one time that military from Guinea-Conakry, from Guinea-Bissau, some special forces were there. I don't know if that's true or not, but we should be able to have these that comrades and should be mobilizing in Liberia and all these other places demanding, and Nigeria, that those governments, those neo-colonial governments, do not deploy troops in an attack on the people. There might even be some value in calling for a national conference, if in fact if you feel like there's some capacity for the Africanist and progressive forces to be able to fight for such an agenda as we are talking about, to be put forth, so that the people can come forward and struggle around these issues, as opposed to allowing a handful of elitists to make certain kinds of determinations. And I know that in the U.S., there's a mobilization planned, and in London, I know there's a mobilization planned, and you know, we need even to be able to have decent demands coming from you in these places, so that that we can try to impact on that situation as well. I know I said a mouthful, but hopefully you can address some of that.
We earlier had an arrangement during the African Leadership Conference, in which we planned a series of actions. Like in May, there was supposed to be, or there would be a national demonstration that's happening in Sierra Leone, calling for reparations from the corporations that are currently involved in the loot of banks from Conakry. And we equally had a planned demonstration on the border, and the discussions have been happening around that issue since last year. And we just moved a resolution during the African Leadership Conference that happened in Dalabar in November. And we had plans on how we were supposed to organize these issues and demands, and make sure that it receives response from, you know, the various forces that are pursuing this process throughout this region and beyond. But the thing is that what is happening in Guinea right now happened at a time when, you know, we were in the middle of discussions trying to put in place an appropriate strategy on how this issue or this struggle was supposed to be organized. But like I said, you know, we are dealing with forces who, you know, became unreliable within the process, and who went into action before even we concluded discussions on how this whole issue was supposed to, you know, be organized. So that has made the situation much more protracted and complicated. But we are trying to see how, you know, we will handle this situation appropriately and take this struggle to its required direction.
I want to intervene real quickly because we have another caller on the air. Uhuru caller?
Uhuru, I just want to express a profound appreciation for this discussion. I think this is a very important discussion, and the fact that it is going, you know, to people outside of Africa, I think is even more important, because I think that, you know, it really needs support, and it needs understanding from people abroad, people outside, Africans abroad, to be able to unite with this struggle. And I think the thing about getting the people's demands, or getting them a program, is very central to the whole issue. It is central in many ways, because it will help to distinguish who is really the people that are actually speaking in behalf of the masses of the people. It would help to distinguish what the people want, because I mean, I think the whole question of regime change, if that is just the solution, you know, it doesn't bring about any understanding of what is the demands of the people. Anybody that go up there or be replaced can put forth their demands and call it the demands of the people. I think that the people have to measure these people that have been put up there by how they respond to the demands. And I think for the rest of Africans, you know, all around the world, it will help us to make that distinction, you know, in terms of, you know, understanding that the, you know, the trade unionists and these other forces are definitely not responding in behalf of the people. So I think it's something that should be paid a lot of attention to, in terms of how that should be the question, in terms of how can we get the masses access to, you know, information, in terms of a program that they can hold on to and call their own and use that as a measure of anything that happens there, and likewise, so that people throughout the world can unite with the program of the people themselves, you know. So I just want to again commend the comrades on the front line. You know, I think it's a tremendous job that they're doing, and hopefully that they will be able to tell us what it is that we can do, you know, from where we are, you know, and I think it's a different day once the struggle has become beyond the borders of Guinea or Sierra Leone or any of those places, you know. And Africans begin to make their voices heard and support the comrades, you know, and the brothers and sisters, you know, that are in the trenches at this moment. So thank you again.
I would just like to raise this question. Whether or not there is the political space right now throughout West Africa, in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, perhaps in Cameroon, or perhaps in Senegal and Nigeria, other places, is there enough political space, and does the Africanist movement have the ability to initiate solidarity mobilizations, demonstrations, in solidarity with what's happening in Guinea, with the demands that's being made by Africans in Guinea, with demands that are supportive, that also calls for bringing the borders down, that denounces any kind of military intervention, demands the withdrawal of U.S. and EU military and intelligence capacities, that will struggle against the neocolonial governments that where they are located from intervening into that process. Is there enough political space? And does the Africanist movement have the ability to initiate such mobilizations as that around a program that could demand? Because the thing is that it could spread. The demand goes beyond Guinea. The struggle goes beyond Guinea. If you can raise the question of nationalization, for example, of these mines, of the people being able to get these resources back into their own hands, this being something that could transform the actual conditions of life for masses of Africans in Guinea and the various other regions, the demand for clean water, electrification, for education, these kinds of things tied to the taking back of these resources from the European corporations and from the neocolonial governments that now are in power, serving their own interests and serving the interests of these imperial corporations. Is there enough political space to move for this kind of mobilization to happen in these places? And is there a capability in the hands of the Africanist movement? Does the Africanist movement possess the capability to initiate that kind of response?
Right now we have the capacity, and I know that there are plans are happening in Sierra Leone and in Liberia to organize demonstrations simultaneously, you know, in doing what is happening in Guinea. You know, we also have active support and action that's happening that will also happen in Senegal, you know, simultaneously, you know, in regards to the situation. I know that the forces in Freetown have been coordinating this situation, and from discussion that we are having, that we're receiving here, you know, shows that serious issues are happening also, you know, around this situation in Freetown, and then we are actually in touch with our forces, you know, in all of these areas. And we, you know, apart from that action, we've been receiving, you know, forces moving here, and they are moving with information and trying to ensure that we are not isolated or caged in Guinea here as well. So we are working simultaneously with our forces in the region to ensure that we make this much more complex for the new colonial forces, you know, in the area.
Splendid.
So I know that meetings are happening in Freetown, and you know, they are equally planning demonstrations in tune with what is happening in Guinea here, and we know they held a press conference on Saturday, that's yesterday, around the issue that happened in Labe and Dalabar as well. So we are in constant communication with our forces. Like I said, the difficulty is, you know, getting easy access to information, how we send information out and how we receive information, but we are working perfectly simultaneously with our forces around the region to see, you know, how action will be organized in those areas simultaneously with what is happening in Guinea here.
I think,
and I think we have space and ability to do that within this required period.
Well, I think the question of information is extremely important, and as we get information, we can help to distribute the information and help to mobilize some people. And I'm hoping that there are Africans who who are close to us, especially those tied to the African Socialist International process, who are listening to this discussion, and we'll look at their abilities to intervene in this process wherever they're located, whether that's in so-called South Africa, or whether that's in Central Africa, or whether that's in London or here or any other place. I think that this is going to be extremely important, and that as we get information, good information from you, then we'll not only distribute that information, but we'll try to use that information in order to mobilize people into some kind of actions. One question I would have for you is, can you say anything about the intervention, either in particularly in Guinea, or the threatened intervention, or the involvement of either U.S.
It's breaking up. It's not coming clear to me.
Okay. Can you say anything at all about the involvement or threatened involvement in Guinea by U.S., EU, or any other forces to try military and or intelligence forces? And can you say anything about the corporations that might be based in the U.S. or other places outside of Guinea that have a stake in the outcome of this this process that's going on, so that they may also, so that people may also mobilize around them?
Yes, we know that the French government and the United States government has taken, in what's happening in Guinea. We know that very recently the U.S. government opened the FBI office in Freetown, and they've been disseminating information and spreading concerns about the development of leftist organizations in this region. You know, so in Guinea itself, we have political parties that are sponsored by the U.S. government and France. There is two of these key officials. One of them is called Professor Alpha Conde, who was educated in France, and he was a lecturer at the Sorbonne University in Paris. So his party is directly sponsored by the French government, and a former World Bank consultant, Bernard Nadu, who is equally sponsored by the U.S. government. So each of the, they persuaded each of these leaders to form what they call coalition, an opposition party's coalition. And the thing is that the U.S. government operates a separate spot, different from Conakry, as where they are in control of the bauxite that's coming out of that, and the richest deposit of bauxite in West Africa. So what is happening in Guinea and what we are currently saying is a complete threat to, you know, their interest. And I think that discussions that are happening in Freetown about the deployment of a rapid response West African military force is led by the U.S. government and France, you know, perhaps in order to ensure that they protect their own interests. So even the demands that are made by the trade unions, you know, categorically state that, you know, people are expressing concerns that, you know, the U.S. government or maybe the French government will want one of these political leaders to be named as the prime minister, and who will be given the powers to appoint, you know, another set of cabinet ministers. So those are the issues we're dealing with. But we know that the U.S. government has a strategic, you know, interest in this situation, just as the French government do, you know, does. And then we know that since last year, the French and the U.S. government have been struggling with the last Nakonde, because he gave concessions to a Japanese mining corporation that is currently mining the iron ore in a place called Sangaredi in the far east of Guinea. So, and that did not please the U.S. government either. So those are some of the issues. But we know that the French and, you know, has an interest in this, and the U.S. government has an interest in this as well. And which is why they are currently involved in negotiations in Freetown to see how you know, they can move into the situation as soon as possible to protect their own interests.
I just want to say, Comrade Cherno, that I want to salute you, and I want to salute the brothers and sisters who are struggling there. And I want to also reinforce the statement I made earlier in terms of the need to develop a national democratic revolutionary program. because I've seen it happen too many times in Africa, even currently in Ivory Coast, where you have these contending forces at war with each other, fighting proxy wars for the U.S. and the French. You got African faces, but it's the U.S. and French interests which are involved, because the people don't have a National Democratic Revolutionary Program and coherent leadership on the ground. So anybody can come in, and then in the name of overturning this regime or that regime, or the French versus the Americans, can put forth an agenda. That's why that we must have our own agenda that can be, that the people can be won to and can fight for and defend. And in so defending that agenda, they will defend our freedom fighters. They will defend those who stand up for that. And then also arms Africans and other peoples around the world who might want to be able to unite with that struggle. It even tells us what we can do beyond any immediate articulation from you. At the moment we see such a program and such an agenda, we know what we can do. Already, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, things in that area. And particularly, it seems to me that we're going to have to come out of there with a demand around the nationalization of those resources so that they can become the property of the people and the people can be armed to fight for them. Because sometimes we want a job, a better wages and a mine that should be the possession of the masses anyway. So the workers need to be armed so that they can struggle not only for a new prime minister, but for the workers themselves to power. These are the kinds of issues and concerns that we need to be able to articulate. And I want to salute you. And I know it's difficult on the ground. I know it's easier for me to be sitting here talking to you about this than it is for you dealing with the contradictions that you're faced with on the ground and the limitations in terms of communications and other technological entities that we can take for granted on this end. So I salute you, and then I'm hoping that you can use us and the African Revolutionary Movement, the African Socialist International apparatus, use us so that we can impact effectively on the situation that we are confronted with there, because that's our situation in Guinea just as much as it is yours.
Uhuru. We have another caller, you're on the air.
African People Solidarity Committee, and I want to salute Chairman Amalia Shatila and Chairno Alpha Mba and this excellent discussion and program. And I just wanted to say that tomorrow the African People Solidarity Committee, under the leadership of the African People Socialist Party, is holding a demonstration in New York City in front of the Hilton Hotel. This is called the All Diamonds or Blood Diamonds demonstration. It will be in front of the International Diamond Conference. And we will be having a press conference during that time. And we would like to, if it is appropriate, be able to express our solidarity with the struggle in Guinea and West Africa that you're talking about today. And, you know, I just wanted to raise that. I'm sure that we will get some media coverage there. And wondered, you know, would there be specific things that we should talk about?
I think the context of the demonstration and the press conference that you're going to have around that International Diamond Conference in New York on tomorrow, I think the context should be the struggle in Guinea and in
West. It's not coming clear to me.
Okay. Can you hear me better now? I think the context for the demonstration and the press conference that we are going to have International Diamond Conference in New York on tomorrow should be the struggle that's happening in Guinea now, and the struggles that's happening in that West African region, that this struggle is indicative of the contradictions that we are faced with the extraction of our value by corporations like the diamond industry. And also, I think that we should target this industry for being collaborators in maintaining the status quo, and that and say that it has an interest in trying to keep this rotten regime in power in Guinea and other places where people are fighting for their lives. You know, because I know the diamond industry is bringing NGOs from Africa and from other places to try to say how wonderful they are. But I think the Guinea situation, I think we should try to use that as the context within which we initiate this struggle at the Diamond International Diamond Conference on tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yes, I think what we are doing here is that we, you know, in as much as we are trying to put this thing into clear context, that we are trying to make sure that the people see through those forces who are presenting themselves as credible, you know, individuals who claim to represent the masses, because the trade union leadership has lost the confidence of the masses now. So we are trying to make sure that the people understand exactly, you know, the root causes of this situation and how it should be addressed. Like I said, there are so many social forces involved who are moving about trying to explain the situation, you know, based on their own interests and their own perspectives. So in as much as we are faced with this situation, action that's happening, we are equally faced with, you know, this propaganda situation as well. So we have a situation where the people, you know, are being moved by what these other forces are saying and what we are saying. But, you know, the way it stands is that we, you know, we are trying to put this struggle into its own, you know, perspective based on, you know, what we think is responsible for what is happening right now. And these are the explanations that we are trying to, you know, give to the masses. So in as far as we are explaining the situation, there's action happening, and we are moving, you know, with this situation. But I think that the difficulty has been our ability to do mass outreach work, like distribution of, you know, information, and all those kind of issues that are associated with this, you know, situation. But we are working very hard to make sure that the people understand the risks of this situation, you know, the problems with the corporations. We've been having discussions around this since last year and on to this point. So this has been very complex and difficult situation altogether, but we are moving, and we are sure that the people are understanding exactly, you know, what they need to do and what should be done and who these other forces are.
Splendid.
Well, we have another caller, Uhuru. Call you on the air.
Uhuru, I called before, but I just wanted to say something that the comrade just said about the difficulty in getting information out. But I think that part of what needs to happen is that whenever there's a press conference or whatever, the program needs to be put out, because it will get out. People do read the papers, et cetera, so that at every opportunity that we get, we should have a program formulating it that would distinguish us from all these other forces. The thing that's going to distinguish that the people will be able to hear is that they'll be able to hear their interests coming back at them, and that's the forces that they will galvanize towards. And that's the thing that's going to make a distinction with all the forces, you know, on the ground, is the difference of the program, and a program that the people see speaks to their needs. So I've heard a lot of suggestions about things that could entail, the program could entail, and I think they're great suggestions, and I think that every opportunity from here on in that we get, you know, we should, in every press conference, we should begin to distance ourselves by saying this is what it represents, because again, if we don't do that and somebody else goes up there, there's no way for the people to measure whether or not these people are able to carry out, or whether or not this person is going to be the person, because it should be as it's related to the program that the people themselves put forth and who can respond to that program. And we know for sure that nobody can respond to the program but us. So I think the program has to be first and foremost in our minds, and that we should be putting it out at every single opportunity that we get, and all our forces, you know, even with demonstrations, that should be, the program should be, you know, for everybody to see what it is all about.
Yeah. And just in relationship to the idea about the programs, we don't have to wait for a meeting with all these forces to put a program together. We know the contradictions with education. We know the contradictions with clean water, with electricity. We know the contradictions with a decent wage. We know the contradiction with the corporations owning our natural resources, and the fact that most instances we're living with extractive economies, that's and single commodity economies that don't satisfy the needs of people. So we can begin to articulate programs that respond to this. We know the situation with the U.S. We know why the U.S. and the British military forces are there. You know, we know they're there to suppress the masses of the people and support these rotten regimes that are oppressing us. We know why the FBI is there. They want to do the same thing there that they're doing to Africans here in the United States. So I think we can have a program around that. We know what those borders are for, which is to keep us separated and to also keep us from being able to have a national economy. You knock those borders down and just think about what that could do in terms of the economic life of the people just alone. So, I mean, those are the kinds of things that I think must necessarily go into a national democratic revolutionary program that we can begin to articulate over and over and over again until the program becomes the program of the masses of our people. And we need to speak to the problem that people don't have decent houses to live in, that people spend all day just trying to get enough for a meal for that day. And those are the kinds of things that need to go into a program. And then we say the resources to implement this, to have better education, to have jobs that meet our needs can be found and taken back those resources that the corporations are stealing from us today. And our ability to do that would be enhanced by getting rid of the United States, getting rid of the EU, and all of those imperialist military forces, including the United Nations, that stand between us and our own resources and support these rotten regimes that couldn't last for a single week if they did not have the support of the imperialist powers themselves. Yes. That's the kind of thing that we need to begin to articulate so that this can become the masses, the property of the people. And so that nobody can simply come along and say, okay, I got rid of this rotten guy, because all over Africa, you know, there's a history of regime change with one neocolonial power following the next, and the conditions of the people not getting better but getting worse. We can organize around a decent program, and that's the kind of thing I think that, and that will trap whomever tries to move for power, because the masses have already been won to a program that speaks to their interests and speaks to their needs.
Yes.
And tell us what to do, and we'll do it on this end to try to make it possible for you to do what you need to do on that end.
Okay. I think we'll be sending information out. Because we are right now in a place where we cannot access computers and issues like that, but we hope we can do that as soon as we get opportunity to do so. Hopefully we'll try to do that within the next
splendid
up to 24 hours.
Splendid, Africa.
We've been interviewing Comrade Chernow Alpha Mba, director of the Africanist Movement, here on Africa Live, speaking about the current situation in Guinea. And we're going to take a brief break and come back with more on this discussion.
Recognize the faces. front y'all. You got these devils at the back door. They wanna confront y'all. They want y'all the pass like some type of gun law. They come in the night, then block out every border you could run for. Me, I'm a rocket launcher and militant monster. I'm self-sponsor. I light up the mic just like ganja. Black thought in the flesh, no imposter. Power hilly. Thoroughbred soldiers ain't with the same silly shit that's uncertain. Wrapped inside a steel curtain's networking. Our shoulders, backs, and necks hurting for real. So be supreme or just remain a mere person. Yo, you can find knowledge yourself or keep searching. Whoever in the crevice is thirsty, working beneath the surface. Y'all know the purpose, keep the streets burning.
Vane Planton. I'm down with the Liberty City 7, and when I want to listen to revolutionary radio, I go to ururadio.com.
Yeah. Iswele too. E Africa. Gotta do this, man. Yeah. Yo, I gotta go, baby. Revolution in the air, baby. Yeah. Talk about revolutionary people out there. Brothers and sisters. Young Ace, yo, let me rock it like this. Yeah, like the Panthers did in 67. I'm about to run up in Capitol Hill with brandished weapons. Put the peace to the crackers, face it. Then ask politely, can we talk about reparation? Now some may say that's rash, but my people getting played like a jackass. And when I think about it, I ain't the criminal, see you stole me. So the way I see it, you owe me. 2 years since the Birmingham bombing, and I'm still turning pages to see black churches still burning. So excuse me if I ain't interested in ritual.
Uhuru, and welcome back to Africa Live on uhururadio.com. We've been speaking with Comrade Cherno Alpha Mba, the director of the Africanist movement in West Africa, and speaking on the current situation in Guinea with the massive demonstrations that have been happening to remove the neo-colonial government there. For those of you out there listening who would like to participate in this discussion, you can do so by calling. If you're in the U.S., you can call toll-free at 1-877-824-3337. And if you're calling from outside the U.S., you can call country code 001-727-824-5700. And you can also email us by clicking email DJ on the right side of your Uhuru Radio website, or emailing directly to DJ at uhururadio.com. I want to, Comrade Cherno, I know there have been a number of forces who have been imprisoned during this during the demonstrations. Could you say something about the situation of these forces?
Well, during the demonstrations, close to 100 people were killed by the Guinean regime and by the police and the military, who were out on the streets shooting live rounds of ammunition, and several other people were sustained injuries as a consequence of that situation, and some are currently in hospitals as a result of that. And we know the death tolls will increase. And there were a couple of arrests. We do not know exactly the number, but we know in Conakry alone, something like 112 people were arrested. These are individual masses who were involved in the demonstrations. During the third day of the demonstrations, the trade union leadership you know, some of the trade union leaders were arrested, but they were released just 2 hours after that, and that was when they went into negotiations with the regime. Since on Friday night, we know that as a consequence of the demonstration that happened in Labe and Daraba, 57 people, from what we know, were arrested. Three among those include, you know, members of our movement. Some are just individuals who participated in the demonstrations. But there have been secret arrests that were made by the Guinean security services. Last year, the Guinean military made an attempted coup, and then the head of the Guinean military was dismissed as a consequence of that, together with something like close to 2,000 Guinean soldiers were dismissed as a result of that. So the state fears that these dismissed army officers will group and try to overthrow the government as a consequence of this situation. So what they did is that they arrested the head of the Guinean military 4 days ago. You know, they picked him up. It was a secret arrest. They picked him at his residence together with two of his, aides. So they've been held in a secret location. You know, they've been held in detention since that time, and nobody knows exactly what they've been doing to them. So we know the conditions of the Guinean prisons. Guinean security services are very notorious of intimidating and brutalizing individuals who are kept in jails. So you have a situation where 20 or more people can be locked up in a small room, you know, prison and room, and then the Guinean government does not feed inmates. So if you're talking about conditions in Guinean prisons, they represent the worst conditions in any neo-colonial territory you're talking about in this area. So it's a serious situation, and we know they are making more arrests, and these are ones that we know of. You know, secret arrests are happening, and then, you know, it's a serious situation, and then we know it's obvious that our forces, you know, they face a similar situation. So that is exactly, you know, the thing.
I think that I just wanted to restate the significance of the work that you're doing there. There are people who are able to have an opinion about what the U.S. is doing in Iraq and Afghanistan because they're able to see it. They get information about that issue, but they don't get information about what's happening to us in Africa. And the reality is that there are many people around the world who can recognize that the U.S. involvement in places like Iraq and Afghanistan represents a crisis of imperialism. The struggle and the resistance of the people represent a crisis of imperialism. But because they are ignorant of what's happening in Africa, they can't see the same thing. And also because in too much of Africa, we don't have revolutionary movements that have consciousness, that can impart a kind of consciousness to the struggle itself, which is one of the reasons we continue to harp on this question about a national democratic revolutionary program that must become the possession of the people, because what is happening there is also should also be a part of a crisis for imperialism, as opposed to it simply being a crisis for our people, where our people die, our people simply suffer more, and it doesn't matter one way or the other who comes to power. We have a revolutionary national democratic program, then we become a part of this whole process of threatening the existence of imperialism. We become a factor in this whole worldwide struggle to overturn a social system that's based on oppression, that's based on genocide, that's based on the enslavement of our people, that's based on the dismemberment of our continent, the dispersal of our families, and also the terrible poverty that we suffer, despite the fact that we live on the continent that is the richest in the world in terms of natural resources. So it's so important what you are doing. And we have to learn how to communicate what you are doing, what is happening, much more effectively. And we have to be able to put the struggle that you engaged in there in programmatic form so that the masses of peoples around the world can participate with you in making this struggle. And the world can recognize that Africa is struggling to create its own agenda and its own future. That's what you are about. You are about helping to make that happen, and we are extraordinarily proud of what you're doing, and we just are trying to look for better avenues to be able to support that, because we recognize there's only one Africa, there's only one African nation, and you are simply occupying one front of that struggle, and every other front has an obligation to try and give support to what it is that's happening there, because it will mean the emancipation of our whole people and our nation.
We have another caller. Who will call you on the air?
Uh-huh. Bingo, this is Watu.
Uhuru.
Hello?
Uhuru, comrade. You're on the air.
Okay, yes, Uhuru. I want to call in to notify the forces around the world, and in particular in the Washington, D.C. area, that this coming Wednesday, February the 7th, at 12 o'clock noon, there will be a demonstration at the Ghanaian Embassy here in the Washington, D.C. Area, beginning, at 12 noon. And we're going to be showing our support for an end to the brutal rule by General Conti in Guinea, as well as we're demanding the release of all of the demonstrators that were in prison. And we're going to be putting out the slogan, Touch One, Touch All, and in support of our comrades in Guinea, and under the leadership of the work by Brother Cherno. So I just wanted to remind people, if they want to participate, they can call me at area code 301-695-2930, or my cell phone is 240-344-3925. And that's February 7th at 12 o'clock. The embassy is located at 2112 Leroy Place in Northwest Washington, D.C. So we hope we can get more forces, as many people to come out as possible. We feel this is, it's very important, the rights of African people, not just on the continent, but all over the world, and that we have to show that resistance wherever we're at in support of our people and the attacks coming against us by, forces of imperialism.
Watu, I would hope that in that mobilization, you're also able to do something that makes a criticism of U.S. involvement in that area. I think I've forgotten whether it's Alcor or one of the other major international corporations based in the United States that's taken the bauxite out of Guinea. I know that is at least one U.S.-based corporation.
Alcor, you're right.
And also, I think that mobilization should try and raise some of the issues around the theft of resources, the involvement of the U.S. FBI station in Sierra Leone, neighboring Sierra Leone, for the purpose of aiding these nasty neo-colonial regimes and suppressing our people. And some of the other demands that we've raised. I hope you can intervene in that fashion, make some of those demands. And you should give out your phone number again.
Okay, my home phone number, it's area code 301-695-2930. And the cell is 240-344-3925. And I've been on the phone this morning calling forces in the Washington, D.C. area, just to make them aware of the event that is taking place. We are going to have a contingent from Bowie State University, some courageous young Africans over there that's been working with our movement, and they've united with the call, in support of the people of in Guinea. And then I have some local forces that will be attending as well. So we want as many people down there as possible, and those that are hearing this radio broadcast and are in the Washington, Baltimore, Maryland area, please give me a call because touch one, touch all.
Uhuru. Yeah, I think that's important because, stuff is happening to us. I mean, look, Congo, for example, has a new outbreak of murder and brutality of Africans in Congo. you know, again, it's around the theft of those resources there by imperial forces. You got black faces carrying out the acts, and they're tied to one imperial regime or another. We've just had the United States, of course, where we have the United States intervening in Somalia, where they actually had ground troops after dropping bombs to kill people. And everybody knows that this is tied to the fact that there's a tremendous amount of oil that's in Somalia's. You have read that it's a valley of oil under Somalia stretching all the way to Yemen.
Yes.
And so the U.S. and there are about four or five major U.S. oil corporations that's behind that. And so it seems to me like this West African situation gives us an opportunity to establish just a whole new direction and a whole different attitude and view about how the struggle can be made. So again, I'm hoping that that everyone will support this effort, and not only people here and in West Africa, but also I'm hoping that comrades in South Africa can mobilize and wherever you are located. I mean, they're particularly if there's a French, in many instances you won't find a Guinean embassy perhaps that you can have these mobilizations, but you'll find the French and you'll find the U.S. and their embassies can be targets for demonstrations, mobilizations, criticisms, yes, protests, and what have you, and they should be. And the fact is that we've got these brothers and sisters who, by themselves, isolated, without any meaningful kind of resources, attempting to make this struggle. And we have to bring the whole African nation, certainly the most progressive sector of it, to support that struggle. So again, you know, everyone who's listening to this show, wherever you are in the world, you know, we have a responsibility to stand up with these brothers and sisters who are there in Guinea-Conakry.
And on that note, I've received a announcement for a demonstration that will be happening in London, England. So for those of you listening out from England, there will be a demonstration happening at the French Embassy in London on the 12th of February. That's next Monday at 12 o'clock. That embassy is located at 38 Knightsbridge, which is in London. And for more information around this demonstration, you can email uhuruasi@aol.com, or you can call the ASI organizers there at 020-7207-5981. Again, that's 020-7207-5981. That is a demonstration happening in London, England, at the French Embassy. Chairman, you've begun to kind of just relate this to what's going on in other places like Congo and Somalia. And just, you know, in looking at the demonstrations that have been happening in Guinea, you know, it just made me think about the whole struggle, this whole tendency around the world of oppressed peoples, you know, struggling to overturn the situation for themselves. Could you say something to that?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you know, people recognize what's happening in Venezuela, you know, under the leadership of President Hugo Chavez, struggling against U.S. imperialism. And we've seen certain kinds of change happening in other places throughout Latin America, Ecuador. Of course, Cuba has been a stalwart force there for a long time. And it's got more significance now because there had been anticipated that with the death of Fidel Castro, Cuba's ongoing isolation would mean the end of that government. But now what we see is, as at one juncture, Che Guevara called for 2-3 mini Vietnams. What we're seeing is 2-3 mini Cubas attempting to emerge,
yes,
in that region of the world. And The resistance of the people in places like Afghanistan, in places like Iraq, in places like Palestine, as complicated as things are there, there's a serious kind of resistance, and people recognize it. The problem we've been confronted with is that since the 1960s, late 1960s, when people see Africa, they see chaos or they see despair, they see poverty, they see charity cases and things like this. And it is not an accurate depiction of what Africa is. And I think that what is happening now with is this effort to build the African Socialist International, which will unite the whole African world in a revolutionary trajectory that gives us access to each other. That gives us access so that our strength, wherever we're located, is the combined strength of the total. So that in Sierra Leone or in Guinea-Conakry, they don't have to struggle alone. They can have access to whatever resources that's available to us. And now we're beginning to have a coherent articulation. People can portray the Congo even now as just this place of madness. People just, Africans killing Africans. The same story that they like to portray everywhere, but with the ASI, the African Socialist International, and with the Africanist movement on the ground in West Africa, we see that there's a coherent discussion that's happening, there's a coherent articulation that's happening, and that what's happening in Africa, and particularly in places like West Africa, where we do have people on the ground with consciousness who are trying to take that consciousness to the masses of the people, we have a conscious effort to deepen this crisis of imperialism so that Africa and African people can be free and so that the whole world can be free from an imperialist tyranny. So I think that is what is so significant, and that is why it is so important for us to struggle for a coherent articulation coming out of West Africa and Sierra Leone now. It is not just another attempt to get rid of another rotten neocolonial stooge. It is tied to a program, a National Democratic Revolutionary Program. It is tied to an effort by African people around the world to liberate and unify our Africa and African people. It is a critical component in the struggle against imperialism.
I want to take a brief break. Again, we've been speaking with Comrade Chernow Alpha Mba in West Africa from Guinea around what's been happening with the Guinea situation, with the demonstrations in Guinea calling for the overturning of the neocolonial regime there. We'll return momentarily with more on this discussion. Uhuru.
might get dropped. I'm singing two words, take over. Then they did the rape over. Black folks rebelled and had to do a makeover. Now they got cats that look like you. Making presidents, they black, but they not like you. I'm singing one people, one aim, one land, no games, no time to play. Now it's time to say on whose side you standing. Africans demanding the end to this bullshit, taking back our landing. Two words, touch one, touch all, cause it's only divided we fall. So we gotta heed the call. Across time zones, never fighting alone. They touch hate, touching back in Sierra Leone.
Better yet, divide the land, trick up all the Indians, crackers call it pyramids. Bill Gates full of sin, president full of gin. Ain't no sense in bullshit and bring your whole room. One word, democracy, more like hypocrisy. White House, Pentagon, all of them are top of G. Independent, stop it, be trying to hit this lottery. Crackers dead and clocking me, ain't ready, shoot. Ready, shoot. Word, Supreme Court, playing blacks like sport. Tell us what we hoping for, even better what we voting for. We closing up our open doors, poison up our open doors. Everybody move. Two words, land grab, Katrina aftermath. Never seen a bloodbath, white like this hood rap. Court system ain't shit, dirty rotten government. Never this irrelevant, ooh, ooh, ooh.
To Sam and C-Los and Miss P Productions.
Talking about my freedom. People freedom.
welcome back to Africa Live on AhuaRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we've been speaking with both Chairman Amalia Shatella and Comrade Trono Alpha Mba, the director of the Africanist Movement, and we've been speaking about the situation in Guinea with demonstrations that have been calling for the removal of the neocolonial government there. Trono, comrade, could you speak to, could you just, is there anything more that we have not said that you feel like needs to be said, you know, around the situation there in Guinea?
Well, I think what I would like to say in addition to what the chairman has said is that we are calling on Africans throughout the world to know that this thing is happening and that their involvement in the struggle here, and we rely on the support that our brothers and sisters throughout the world give to the struggle that's happening here. And then we appreciate the fact that we are able to communicate what is happening on the ground here to our brothers and sisters who are around the world through radio, and we think that this has empowered our brothers and sisters here, because we now know that Africans around the world and other people who support the struggle of African people, you know, will be able to know exactly that we are involved in this struggle. So we appreciate.
Uhuru, come right. I believe we may have, I believe we've lost Comrade Trono. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and break again briefly and try to reestablish that connection.
Binga, I'm while you're trying to get in touch with Trono, with Comrade Trono, I just wanted to express my appreciation for Uhuru Radio, and I'm hoping that Africans who are listening to this broadcast are also able to recognize the significance of being able to have this kind of medium available to us. Because I don't know where else you can be able to participate with a struggle such as this happening on the ground in Africa. I remember when we had access to another radio show in a so-called commercial-free, community-supported radio station, which was white control for a minute. I did such things as discussed struggles on the ground as they were occurring in Palestine with Palestinians who were involved in that struggle. And we were able to intervene in other kinds of struggles until it made the white liberals so uncomfortable that they kicked us off the air. And this is the significance of having our own radio station. This is, in fact, it was that kind of thing that informed us of the need to have our own radio station, not just a station where you have a certain kind of parasites who can have these discussions at the expense of other peoples and struggles happening around the world, but where we are actually participants and in the struggle. And this is a call for our listeners to really help us to build our listenership, to get other people other Africans involved in listening to this show so that they can become participants as well in the struggle. You've heard what is happening in Guinea, Conakry, and you've got a sense of the significance of that, not only for Guinea, but for Africa and African people in general. And so I'm hoping that this will inspire listeners to go out and do whatever possible to support this radio station. I think we may have reconnected with Cherno, Comrade Cherno Imba, and welcome back, comrade.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you were speaking before we were cut off.
Like I was saying, in addition to what the chairman has just said, is that, you know, we rely on the support that we receive from Africans, our brothers and sisters who are located all around the world. This struggle is not separate from the struggle of Africans anywhere in the world. We, you know, like the chairman said, we are one nation and one African people. We face the same problems. What's happening in Guinea right now has a direct relationship to what's happening to Africans around the world. And we want people to understand that this is our struggle. And we appreciate this opportunity because we now have an opportunity to disseminate information correctly about what's happening to us in these areas that we are located. So we think that we should remind people that they have a responsibility to support the rural radio, because without the rural radio, it would have been impossible for people to hear directly from those of us who are involved in this struggle. Like what the chairman is saying, there are struggles happening all around the continent. But we do not know about the forces who are involved in some of these situations. So we like to say that this is tremendously important for us because we have struggled here with the mainstream media, the PRC media, and they just report on what they think is best for their own interest. The struggle is happening here, and the masses are definitely determined to fight against this monstrous regime that has rendered us captive for the past how many years, and that what's happening here is a clear indication that Africans, you know, in West Africa are about overturning this relationship that we have with imperialist white power.
Ooh. We have only a few minutes left for this show. I want to express appreciation to you, comrade, for coming on the air and exposing to Africans in the other places around the world to what is happening there in Guinea. I do want to call on Africans all around the world and other people who can unite with the struggle for Africans to have self-determination and control of our own lives, to unite with the struggle that's happening in Guinea, to participate in demonstrations, hold demonstrations in your area around, if you cannot find a Guinean embassy, find a French embassy or a U.S. embassy and hold demonstrations there. And demand the end to the imperialist domination of African people there in Guinea, an end to the neo-colonial government there, and for Africans to be able to control their own lives. Is there anything else you want to say, comrade, before we go?
Well, I want to say that we salute the leadership of the chairman, and like I said, we appreciate this opportunity, and we'd like to thank everyone. The thing is that we appreciate the demonstrations that are scheduled in Washington and in London. We think they will go tremendously in enhancing the significance of what we are doing here. We will definitely send information out that will help us to understand exactly what is happening here. Regardless of the limitations in terms of accessing computers and the internet, we'll do our best to ensure that we disseminate information about what's happening on the ground as soon as we get the opportunity to do so. We thank everyone for listening, and we hope that this will inspire people to be involved in this process. This is our struggle. It's a struggle designed to overturn a neo-colonial regime that has held our people captive and which is responsible for the miserable conditions that we face, you know, here in Guinea and, you know, some of the other places here. We know that the imperialist organizations and corporations are equally organizing themselves to suppress this struggle. So we want our brothers and sisters to equally organize, you know, in any place that we are located, so that we will ensure that we will take this struggle to its required direction. I thank everyone. I want to say Uhuru, no compromise, no surrender, a luta continua.
No compromise.
No surrender.
No surrender.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. And that concludes today's broadcast of Africa Live. But stay tuned for more great programming on UhuruRadio.com. Next, we have Uhuru on the Move, where President Chimurenga Walla and Membership Coordinator Kobina Bantu-Shango of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement will talk with Peggy Morris, Executive Director of the Jamaica Housing Improvement, on the struggle for housing rights. Uhuru. This Jamaica, Queens, just for clarity, in New York.
so many things that's held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let
this is Revolutionary Radio. This is uhuraradio.com, and this is the program Uhura on the Move. It's the program of the International People's Democratic Uhura Movement. I'm here with my co-host, Kobina Bantu Shango, who is live from Huntsville, Alabama. Kobina, what's going on?
Uhuru, glad to be here. Another Sunday on Uhura on the Move.
okay. We're trying to get our guest, who is Peggy Morris, on the phone. And Peggy Morris is the executive director of the Jamaica Housing Improvement, that is Jamaica, New York. And I think Jamaica is a neighborhood inside Queens, New York. And we're going to try a couple of more times to get her on the air. We haven't been successful in getting her on the phone right now. But no, she's a busy lady, but we'll keep trying. The issue of this predatory lending is what we'll be discussing. She's also involved in other housing issues in Jamaica, Queens, where property is literally being stolen from African people in traditional African communities in Jamaica, Queens, New York. So hopefully we can get her on the air in the next few minutes. Kobina, in the meantime, while we're trying to get Peggy Morris on the telephone, there are a couple of issues I wanted to bring up. Hopefully we can get some guests in here to discuss these things in the next few weeks. Recently in the newspaper, the government of the United States